The Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
It's Monday evening, it's 7 p.m. It's time for the DL debate. Check this. Right, welcome one and all. Episode 13 of the DL debate. What a brilliant show we have in store for you. Two of Donegal's finest from the men's game, the brilliant Michael Murphy, and from the ladies' game, the top scorer in all competitions, Geraldine McLaughlin, joins us today.
Thanks one and all for joining us. We're changing it up this week on the DL debate. We're going to go Zoom style, and I just hope everybody's surviving and doing well out there and keeping up the good habits. I think at times, I guess, you know, there's a bit of a look towards different things in your life, and I suppose the amount we're missing sport, I think it's important we keep the GA chat going in the county. And as we know, you know, around the games, there's so much more to the games than the game itself. Sure, we follow our heroes, you know, in Donegal, the people that are honoured to play for our clubs. But, you know, I was just thinking back about going to games, you know, the journey to the games, the famous tea and flask, the sandwiches, maybe a couple of cold ones if the sun's high in the sky. You know, all the debate around games, tactics, who's doing what. And I think we miss all that, you know, post-match and who's coming up next. And I think that side of us, in terms of being Irish and our Gaelic games, there's nothing comes close to it. So hopefully we get that back by the end of the year. That's what we're hoping for now. But in between times, we're going to keep this debate going in Donegal, keep the focus on GAA. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by our main man now on Zoom, via Zoom. Michael Murphy joins me today. Michael, how are you?
Bren, how's it going? All good. Getting used to this new technology.
No bar, Michael. Same as that. We did start off the show way back at the start. We were having it videoed, and then it turned to a podcast, and now we're back on Zoom. Hey, so listen, Michael, great to have you on board. You keeping in shape? I must admit at the minute, Michael, I'm finding it hard to focus. I can feel the belly coming on a bit. I know for you, obviously, you're at a different level in terms of training, but how's things going in terms of you just doing training yourself every day? Is there a program for the team?
There is, I suppose, kind of to break it into three kind of stages. I suppose there was the initial first 2 to 3 weeks where, you know, everybody was trying to scramble and find their way. When would the games be? You know, when, you know, there was all rumours going about might be in the middle of the summer, might be in August. So we were continuing, I suppose, to really try and train and do our best. The management have been brilliant in terms of providing us, because I suppose there's a twofold side of things. The programming obviously tries to keep you as an athlete in physically good shape. But I suppose with the program, I found myself what enables me to do is just keep that routine. It's something you alluded to there, I think, earlier in your introduction there, and that's the big thing I think for me and for any athlete, for any person really, is to try and keep the routine element of it of exercise and programming going. So there was probably that initial stage where we really kept it going, because we didn't really know when championship was going to be. And probably over the last maybe 3 to 4 weeks, when we got that October date, it has probably, you know, the programs have been tweaked in such a way that it, you know, it doesn't need to be absolutely flat to the boards. But at the same time, we're still getting that element of routine into our days. We're still getting our programs to work on things. And I suppose me not getting any older or getting any younger, sorry, should I say, there's certain areas of the body I need to just keep right all year round. And the moment they're kind of let go, you know, the thing could go to pot. So as I say, I'm trying to keep them going, and the boys have been brilliant, and plenty of variety in it too. You know, using your house more, using outside the back of the house more, like when you were a kid, maybe when you were feckin', I'm seeing corners of the garden that I used to only see when I was 7, 8, 9, and that's been good too. And kind of it's been kind of a bit centering and humbling too, to get back in that and get back enjoying that and spend a bit of time with the family, you know.
Yeah, very good, Michael. And, you know, when I'm around with my job in Ulster, with the likes of my friends in Tyrone in particular, they keep asking, what are you going to do when Murphy stops playing? I said, I don't even want to think about that for now. But the good side of it, Michael, and we'll come on to this later, is that you've already started to dip your toe in management, which I think is important for young lads coming through in it. But, Michael, I was just thinking about you. You know, you obviously won All-Ireland, captain Donegal, multiple Ulster, multiple All-Stars, you know, played for Ireland. You know, you've done it all, Michael, Glenn Swilly as well. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, we know all about that. We've shared in it. You're our main man. I was going to take the story back a wee bit just under your youth and that, growing up. And taking it right back to the start, yeah, actually, even when you were born, there was a bit of hip surgery in there. there was a bit of complication, and for you to become the athlete that you were, even at from that starting point, what happened there when you were born?
Something probably I don't dwell on too much. Something mum and dad never really kind of used as an excuse for me. I think looking back, it's something called a hip dysplasia. I think it was the term on it. Basically, one of my legs, I think, were a little bit longer than the other, and I was kind of up on my toe in one leg. So I kind of noticed over the course of a period of months that this wasn't getting any better, and I was kind of limping. I was high in one leg and low in the other. So there was an operation kind of needed when I was maybe 2 to 3 to try and solve that. And I suppose, like, looking back, they do say it to you now, like, they did say it was going to come with difficulty, and the likelihood of you maybe getting out to do what you wanted to kind of hopefully get doing, like be a young, fit kid type, might be a possibility. But you know what, by the time I probably, from my first memories of childhood, I don't remember being in cast for so long and that kind of thing. So it didn't really bother me, and I suppose parents didn't allow it to bother me either. But yeah, I think that was the issues with it, was a certain degree with the hips and that. But listen, didn't kind of allow it to hold me back. And I think their attitude to help me massively, insofar as they weren't, you know, wrapping me in cotton wool when I went to school and started in baby infants and that. You just let wrap at it, you know, and that definitely helped, you know.
That's true. We love that surgeon. We raise a debt of gratitude. We all do in Donegal, and your dad as well, for obviously relocating to Donegal, which was a massive side of things, Michael. I was just wondering, growing up national school in your early days, when did you first really start to get into playing sport? You obviously played a wee bit of soccer as well, of course.
Yeah, sports just massive. Like, you went to school in Glensfully, obviously from being from Bomini, bus to school, and it was just football. Your days in national school was centred around the 11 o'clock break, the 12:30, and the 2 o'clock break. Yeah. What was the team say, and what amount of football you're going to get? And then obviously with father being involved in the Glensfully club, still playing at that time, or trying to play as I slag him. You know, the Saturday or Sunday was just under the car, and you were away to the game. And like any young fella in the sea planted in the Glensfully now at the moment and around the dressing room, you know, you grew up in the dressing room at that age, the senior dressing room, and you know, you're maybe you're carrying a bit of water at that age. All of a sudden you were tagging along with the football, you were kicking a football at the sideline, and all those hours just rank up and rank up and rank up, and you're in an environment where just, this is a way of life. It's football. Saturday and Sunday is all about football. During the week, school football. You throw the bag in behind the door when you come home from school, and it's outside to the garden I'm out on now, and you're playing football. And it was never a chore. It was just such an interest, like, and continues to be, like, and, you know, hope it does continue to be. And it was just a way of loving things, trying to get better. And just the environment and the social side of things that Glensfully, I suppose, afforded was just brilliant, you know, to see characters, I'm sure, that are in every club, and them taking you under the wing and making you feel part of the whole club and the whole area is something I'll always be indebted for now within the Glensfully club, you know.
Yeah, and such a change that's happened, Michael, and no doubt, and it's no coincidence it happened in your time in terms of the elevation of the club. Big Neil tells a good story of when your dad was coaching them on the 14 and 16, they'd be having shooting practice, and particularly if he was in the middle of it, there was a few balls going wide from, you know, 30 yards, etc. And your dad would be like, for feck's sake, lads, if a young fella down the house would be sailing them over, Neil and them would be looking, thinking, yeah, right, little did they know, the lad that he had down in his house was capable, I think, of kicking them at the time. But the club there, you know, just looking now, Murph, I know you've won pitch out there, and I know when the young lads train before the seniors, they're obviously walking off, they're seeing you there, you know, and from picking up stories from people all around the country, you know, it must be massive for them. But for you growing up, Glensfully were down as low as fourth division, and then they started to rise, and very quickly, though, you won an intermediate, you were coming in the team, you were only 16 then, and you went through Ulster. I think then you started to come on sub and different things. You went all the way to an Ulster final, and that, I suppose, was the launch pad then for the senior championships were to come.
Yeah, that was it. And I suppose the one thing that I recognise, I remember I wasn't playing at the time, but getting into working our way up, I suppose, during that intermediate time and transitioning into senior football. I mean, the big, huge jump we made was into Division 1 football. And I remember just, like, you know, you're all of a sudden, you're in with the likes of the St. Junans, you're in with the likes of the you know, the Killie Beggs, you're in with the big clubs around the county, Eudora's that. And I remember that being a big jump in particular, and just the hunger in the club to improve all aspects, you know, the facilities were getting developed out there, you know, everybody within the club were mad hungry and still are to keep them spick and span, and the real proud area in terms of having a lovely pitch, which we do have, having our facilities the way we do have. And the same pride was in the senior team, and I see that now through all our underage teams. We have under 8 teams, under 10 teams now who are competing really well, and some brilliant young characters on it. And there just seems to be, I'm sure it's on every club, but you know, when it's your own, you think it's just something special. You think you have something in your own club that's not there in other clubs. And there's just the pride that's there for what we have out there, I think, is something good. And I think that the reason that is everybody feels that they're making a contribution to it, you know. Numbers aren't absolutely massive. They started to rise and get big over the last kind of number of years. But anybody that's helping out feels like that they're really contributing, whether that be on the football pitch as a player, whether that be off the pitch as a coach, whether that be in the boardroom helping out with fundraising, lottos, whatever. Everybody's on an even keel, and they're feeling they're helping contribute to the club in some way, you know.
I hear there's a good under 15 team coming there, Mike. And I could, that's the word on the street anyway. You're going to come back with a bang.
I'm trying to hold on. I might get them for 1 year.
I don't know. Do you realise it, Mike? Because you're such a humble guy. Your effect on those young fellas, you know, it must be unreal. Because I can even remember training the first time I trained the senior, Union seniors, and Mark Crossan was marking me in the backs and forwards game, and I remember the sheer excitement of him picking me up. I couldn't believe this. I'd watched him playing for Donegal. I'd say there's as much tension in me in that backs and forwards as there was later on with Donegal going to the championship game, you know. So that feeds down. It's massive. There's one wee story I have to ask you. I don't know if you can verify this or not. You were playing a bit of soccer. I hate to take you down the soccer road now. Those Donegal boys, we all have to play a wee bit, you know. Old Town Celtic, you were supposed to go over to Glasgow to a tournament. Now, the word is in the street, there was a scout after you. And your dad wasn't too happy about this, though. Is that a true or false story? And he didn't want you going.
In fairness to him, he's obviously a staunch Gaelic man. But Jesus, hey, sporting ways, I was taken to soccer, athletics, the whole works. Hey, basketball. Mightn't have been by him now. Mum might have taken me to all them sports. Main Street in Old Town was kind of the soccer team. It was either when you were with Glen Swilly, you either played with Kilmacrennan or Old Town. And I went under the lads on there, and I enjoyed the time in the street leagues. Street leagues in Letterkenny were brilliant. They were great learning, playing Iona, playing against Glen Carr, Illustrin, Ballyrain, all them teams. We weren't the best team in the world, but like, you know, and it was just another gang of friends. Like, you know, you obviously had your a bunch in Glen Swilly, obviously, and then you just met up with another gang of friends that were there, and it was brilliant to play in. Looking back, like, and even, you know, there's a lot of chat and speak now about sports and really specialising in the one sport and trying to becoming really, really serious, you know. I think it's just vital that young kids are still given the opportunity to play as many different sports as they can. You know, what's on offer now to all the young people around, you know, in society at the moment in terms of sporting opportunities is just fantastic. You know, you're seeing sports that maybe weren't even available in our time, or weren't maybe as readily available, you know, like gymnastics and things like that. And you're just like, you know, unreal, go for it, eh? And learn as many different skills as you can. Probably does get a bit busy. That was in and around the time, I think, that trip, I think, was in and around the time when Gaelic was starting to get a bit busy for me. So I'll use that as an excuse, anyway.
Yeah. And funny, them street leagues, Michael, thankfully, if we had pulled you a wee bit more across that border, we could have got you over to Unity, or you were close. But those street leagues, I remember those street leagues because we used to come up at the time I was in Newton. We used to come up and play in them as well, and play soccer and Gaelic in them. And even Kieran Doyle was on the show last week. He remarked about them. And funny, David Brady in the week before puts his under 10 final down in Ballina right up there with the greatest game of his life, the most important game. You know, it's funny the effect of them underage. You really set the seed for your love of sport, and you say the camaraderie, the lads, the excitement of that time. It never left you. It's what propels you to train hard, to train well all the time.
And I think I suppose to bring it back, and I do see a common full circle in sport at the moment now. The big one that you had with it was enjoyable. Like, you know, you went to the games in the back of a 12 boys onto the back of a van, you know what I mean? Like, and it was you know, them, it was the experience that came out of the football and everything was brilliant. And you got to train and practice and play and learn all the skills, and that was brilliant. But it was just the enjoyment of the adventure, hey, was the big one, you know. And I do see that coming back in where you know, everybody, there's a real push to try and get people to really enjoy it, you know, and to enjoy the experience, enjoy the journey. There's going to be ups, downs. It's not going to be plain sailing, but just enjoy going with the journey. Like, and that's looking back on it, like at that age, you were 10, 12, you were heading from as you say, from Old Town, maybe down to Lurgy Brack for a game. And there was, you know, 12 or 13 of us out at the side of a pitch getting ready for an old game on a pitch. And, you know, there could have been sheep dung on it or whatever, you know.
You remember the old ground out in Glenswilly? Yeah, it was there's some changes, you know, in fairness, Michael, some changes. You know, that's such an interesting, you know, when you look back at underage, obviously St. Union's College as well, you know, things started to come up there in terms of pulling in your resources around, and that started to become a fulcrum for GA in the county as well. No coincidence you were there then. See, at the time, Mike, I was just wondering, between, you were captain a lot of teams as well, you know, all the club levels going up underage and that. Was there a time there between minor 21s? You obviously were brought in the senior squad. I was still there as well. You won a Sigerson, playing Sigerson. Was there a time where there was a lot going on? Now, I know you are heart and soul football, but was there a time you thought there's too much going on here, in terms of, not so much even that you didn't want to maybe be training too much of that, but just in terms of maybe all the games maybe taking away that bit of buzz you're on about, because you still need that natural buzz. You're not a machine, you know, you want to have to play, and if you keep getting pulled here, there, and everywhere, was there ever a time you thought this is a bit too much?
One, can I remember the one time in and around where things got really busy, and it was managed, looking back, like it was managed as well as it probably could have been, was in and around the time I was still in secondary school. So you're playing football there, even playing soccer, still playing soccer there, you know, and you know, you played in two teams there. You had your still playing minor, still trying to go up to seniors to train. The under 21s were involved, and then you were trying to play a bit of club. So there was just, all of a sudden, there were seven teams there. So, all, you know, looking back, it was managed as well as possible. The big one that I didn't want to do was let any of the teams down. You know, I didn't want to, how would you say, you know, for example, there was inevitably a clash. There was two games on a Saturday at the same time. You couldn't be at both. And the last thing that I wanted to do was, you know, just be, I suppose, nearly be rude, be refusing to play with one of them. And that's what I felt it did. So I remember it did probably happen on one occasion in and around minor league, and I think college. And I just ended up that day, that one morning, I remember saying just that, like, we couldn't come to an agreement what the best way about it was, and I just didn't go to any. And looking back, probably you didn't let anybody down that kind of way. But luckily it only happened once. It was very fortunate. But it was difficult. The support I had was incredible, like, in terms of what you know, mum and dad did, in terms of carting you places and bringing you to one, picking you up from that, bringing you to another. Like, it was things that, you know, you took for granted probably back then, but you realise how much of a burden it probably was on them then. And, you know, it didn't even come across as a burden to them. They were more or less supportive in doing it, and that just helped the transition as smoothly as possible, you know, along with good managers and good people that were involved with me. And that time in the college and unions, you know, I always attribute it, I suppose, it was a big kind of a 6 years. Well, I probably spent 7 years, I think I repeated it a year there, but
yeah,
it was probably the first introduction where you got towards Northern football, as we would call it, you know, in terms of, I was growing up at a stage watching yourselves, going to Croke Park, watching, playing against the teams in the North at the time who were really, really strong, your Tyrone, your Armagh, your Derrys, your Downs, all these teams. And that was the first time where you got to pit yourself against, you know, the big superpowers of Ulster, you know, that kind of way. And, you know, having been your typical Donegal people who tend to come in lacking a bit of belief and been, you know, quite, I don't know how you would say, not backward, but, you know, we need to earn our right and we need to earn our stripes here. We don't deserve to be here. There was a certain degree of that. Mm. All of a sudden, I remember just clicking with me after first year and second year, you realise, you know what? We can play here, like, you know, we deserve, we train as hard as they do, we have everybody's as much as ability as we do. And that probably years in the college kind of really helped with that, to realize, like, listen, do you know what, let's go on at it, like, they're not taking any, drinking any more magic water than we are out here. Yeah. And let's go at it, you know.
I think you're right, there was a mindset. I think the tactics, particularly from a senior level, and that moved on a bit, the preparation did too, Michael. And we were still at a certain level. I know from our team, looking back at it now, we needed to go that bit further. And obviously, you really went there whenever Jim took over. But you did win a minor Ulster title, Michael, as well. There was good things happened at Unions. Obviously, the club was on the up and up.
We got their first year senior, we got to the final, got beat by yourselves.
I don't want to bring that up.
It was a tough one, like all new and blue, like we got for first year. Brilliant journey, unreal, but just, you know, looking back on it, like, and all the boys that openly met were, you know, caught rabbits and headlights, like, just played the occasion, got caught up in the whole thing, and kind of looking back, it was natural, it was going to happen, like, you know, like, it was just the our journey over 3 years just went skyrocketing, yeah. Swally, like, and it had to catch up at some stage, and we had to pinch yourself, and probably it was unfortunate, it was in that day in the final, you know, we were just caught and, you know, beat fair and squarely, and we just didn't perform, you know, and I think we took huge learning from that. It took us a while to get back to another one.
Yeah, well, of course, Michael, it's learning, and when you did get back in, you didn't mess about. I know I heard a quote from your dressing room at halftime. You more or less says, "Give me the ball," you know. And I know this is Michael, your out and out teammate, and go back to your previous comedy and about your loyalty and that. I know no more than Charlie come on after you played the game, but I think it's talking to one of your buddies, your teammates that day. He says there's certain days, you know, Michael always plays well, but there's certain days you know he's on it, and that was one of the days. He hit 1-7 out of 1-8. And that was the final you won then. And listen, he's totally deserved it. Funny enough, I hit 1-7 in my first county final that we won as well. But there was a bit of contesting after that in the boardroom. But we'll not go down that one. After that, the similarities ends. You went up and up and up. And Michael, you coach in the initial stages of Donegal, and people probably forget about this, we couldn't win a game in Ulster. What was it? Was it 4 years there before you were involved, before we actually won a game in Ulster? Was it under the fifth year?
11 now, probably.
It was 11, and then you won the title. Jim takes the 21s as well, yeah, the year before, and you obviously went all that way, that brilliant run to the final. Listen, of course, the bloody crossbar situation, nobody could ping a ball better than you. It's one of them ones, Michael. It's just on the lap of the gods, you know. You rattle a ball, it hits the bar, you're so close to it. But at that stage already, things are starting to really turn. You've won the championship, you've obviously won an All-Star under 21, played in the final. And then in the next years, of course, everything was to take off. And I really felt, Michael, from the first moment I met you, and I know from training, you talk about training, how tough you were at training. You love the training and you like the tougher side of it, which means every night you're on it, because if somebody wants to mix it with you, you're happy. But I remember being out in the park when you first joined us and kind of running into you in a training session, and I thought to myself, you were only 17 at the time. You were solid. You were a lot tougher. I'd never met a 17-year-old like in my life. So that thing of training, that tough side of things, has always helped you come on. And then when Jim put everything in place, made you captain straight away, which raised quite a lot of eyebrows because you were so young, but I straight away thought, right, this is meant to be, and then everything just took off from there, and it was just dream stuff.
It was like, and I always go back to my first number of years, and I think as the years go on and you take these wee moments, especially now when you're sitting around, you've got more time to reflect on things and you're not caught up in the day-to-day thing. Like, I always look back in that, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 period, even when we weren't winning, look back on it and saying, like, that was every bit to me in a strange way, in terms of we're chatting about the journey and chatting about everything. That to me was as every bit as enjoyable and as strange way as it might sound, as enjoyable as just unbelievable. Me, I came from a stage where I was, like you were saying there earlier in the introduction, like the Donegal fan, like where you just were to all the games, McKenna Cup, leagues, championships, you know, you had your heroes playing the team, and all of a sudden I'd kind of just turned 17. I remember getting the call from Brian McGaver. I was down in my granddad's in Mulcranna. I'll never forget the room I was in getting it. And he said, "Listen, John, about coming up to training." And I just thought, like, you were just an absolute dreamland, you know. All you could think about was, I remember thinking about was going to that training in Castle Fun. How was I going to get up there? And I was thinking about, Jesus, like, you know, these boys are going to be training up here. You know, your Christy Joys, your Ben Devaney's, your everyone. They're going to be up here training. You're going to be actually in now training with them, because they'd only really played probably a year with the club at that stage. And And, you know, that was a big one for me. I was playing with heroes within my own club. I was playing with like Neil, Kieran Bowler, Colin Kelly, you know, all them lads I was looking up for years, Jared McGregor, all the lads like. And, you know, to make them transitions over the such a short space of time was unreal. But to go back to it, like the like that 7, 8, 9, 10 period, the lads, how welcoming they were, like, and that's looking back, it was something that always stuck with me. And that team probably got a lot of unfair criticism from the outside in terms of, you know, to look back, people say that pre-Donegal generation where maybe they didn't take things as serious. But like from being up there training, like the welcoming nature of that, they did train hard, and they were damn good footballers. But just how well they welcomed me into a group is something I'll always try to bring with me with any young fella that comes into the squads now that I be with, because that transition was made easy by them group of players. And you know, that 4 years, as I say, was every bit more enjoyable as anything that did go after with all the success, you know.
I do, Michael. That's a really nice thing to say, and I think it's poignant as well, because GAA, and we tend to look just at the good times and at the one, but the one, and it's kind of short lived, you know. And there's a whole other side to it, kind of what you've gone back there around being around the game. It's not just you just go and watch the game and go home. Yeah. There's all this other thing happening, and for you as a player, it's the training and involvement and the lads and sharing something, and probably to feel the lows and then to get the highs makes things a lot different as well. But you realised in that time there was a lot going on, and you're right, people look back at that team. I mean, what happened, the thing was, we trained as hard as anybody in terms of what we were asked to do, but whenever we went out of the championship or something, then it was, as you know, the Wild West stuff kicked off a bit then. I think that came after it, but of course, you know, if you get the Ulster final or something, things don't go right, then people look back at it in a different way in it. And Michael, when John made you captain, then you and him had a real solid bond. Obviously, you both were completely focused in terms of where you both wanted to go and bring all the rest of the lads. You know, just talking to one of the guys about your speech in Cavan in 2012, you know, how well you really became the involve as a talker and a captain. Was that something, Michael? Because when I met you first, I would always have seen you about as a lad, your dad, seen you for years. You know, that picture of me and you in Croke Park in 2001, you're holding my hand, and then whatever, 7 years later, you're in the squad with, playing with. It was some transformation. But was that something you always thought, or did it kind of just come on you then? Because I know myself, I didn't captain kind of later on in my career. I had been a bit, you might find this hard to believe, a bit shy about talking in groups of players. It wasn't very late on that I kind of felt that confidence, I'll be honest with you. But to you, it was kind of thrust on you pretty soon, and at that stage you had fairly big personalities in the dressing room, guys, you had captain in that. So was it something that you took to naturally?
Probably not, I suppose, in terms of in terms of probably I took on that being appointed captain, you would have thought that there was just these extra burdens and responsibilities were immediately put on me, and I focused a lot on them, you know, and I focused on, geez, what is this going to, what I'm going to maybe have to say here, what, you know, how's these lads feeling? You're thinking a lot and you're spending 80% doing that and only maybe 20% thinking about your own game. And I remember getting a couple of harsh realities and lessons in my own performances early in that. And so far as, you know, I just didn't feel they were up to scratch, and I should have really been, you know, looking towards that and trying to make sure everything else was all right. But again, to go back to it, in terms of being so fortunate to be surrounded by, you know, former captains over there, Rory was there, Neil was there, Christy was there. You know, Carl was a leader in his own right. Mickey Higgerty was still there, you know, and they were personalities that weren't looking down the nose at you before that. You know, if anything, they realised the scenario. They were more than supportive in a subtle way looking back, you know, and that really helped, you know, to say, going back to that time when you first came onto the panel and then into that transition under Jim, you know, looking back, Neil Gallagher, you know, Kieran Boner even at the time, like, they used to pick you up at the back of the house and bring you up, and they just settled you into the scene a wee bit better, and they were always good to throw things off. But I suppose the time, to go back to them around Jim's time too, I know how he had operated at the 2010 with the under-21s, and the stereotypical role of the captain, of what you maybe would expect them to organise and to do and to be, you know, as you say, be thrust into it, wasn't massive, because he had taken on so much on board himself. He had nearly played the role of the manager, the coach, and the captain all in one. So, you had a gradual introduction to it, and all of a sudden you became a bit more accustomed and a bit more comfortable into it, you know, as the years went by, 12, 13, 14, you know. But answering it a roundabout way, the lads, the former lads and the former captains that were there helped massively, and so far as the way they understood the thing to be working. And it was never a stage that the captain was there and everybody else was there. We were all in a leap or even par. And anybody that had anything to say or mention or speak about in a huddle, you know, they said it, whether they were captain or not, you know.
Mm. It seems such a great focus and great group at the time. Michael, do you know, when you look back and, you know, you think about the All-Ireland final, I was just wondering, there's a blur in your mind, but there's obviously one or two wee moments in there. Is there anything you remember, you know, the whole county, the passion that was behind the team and behind you? You know, you were just perfect for the captain, you were a best player, you were such a leader and so well got. You know, between the build-up to the game or receiving the cup or that goal that you rattled, the famous goal, is there points in there in your mind that just sticks in there? Because only as ever a couple of wee points in big games that get, did you remember?
The whole journey, like, I keep going back to this thing about the journey and how enjoyable that was. The games were so enjoyable, and the buzz in the dressing room after, like, was just phenomenal. Mm. But the connection between the fans, the connection going into the games, we were just on a crest of a wave, like, and there was an air of, you know, we're just on the money here, we were training well, bodies were strong, bodies were fit, tactics, you just knew going into games, things that Jim, Rory, everybody was saying to you, they were like predicting games, like it was a crystal ball in Tavares, what they were predicting what was going to happen. And, you know, you're looking at them the first few games wondering, is that right? But they predicted to be that nature. You know, like the All-Ireland itself, like, you look back, I always remember the warm-up was absolutely shocking. Mm. We had a shocking warm-up. I remember we were doing a kick pass, we'd speak about it every now and then, we're doing a kick pass and they're all over and back the pitch. And it just went absolutely terrible. Hey, I don't know if any of the boys do remember, because we do make reference to it. The balls were fumbling, the kick passing was terrible, you know, it was just shocking. But likewise, we're just so attuned. We had prepared for every eventuality, every situation. We knew what way we wanted to do our matchups. We knew what way we wanted to set up without the ball. We knew what way, you know, what attacking strategies we wanted to use. And them 5 or 6 points, everybody's focus, all the 26 lads, 30 lads' focus was just on them 5 or 6 points. And you didn't play the, you know, we had everything, you know, settled down to how the walk would go, to meeting the president. We had dry runs done on it, you know, and you just, you were experiencing it then. As like, as you were experiencing it, you were like, right, that's what we were practicing there, you know. So there was that, and then, you know, just you know, the whole thing of coming home and meeting everybody at home, and yeah, certain experiences are there and done. But yeah, it was good. But once you get it, and once I got it at that age, you just be hungry, so hungry to go
over. And tell me, the Mayo warm up was terrible altogether, because we blitzed them early doors. So you weren't looking down at them. Tell me, so in terms of walking through, I mean, did you walk through Jimmy's winning matches? Was that prompt you, or did you think about
that was completely, is it impromptu? Is that the word? Whatever you call it. A couple of the lads had roared up to me. They go, they need to sing it. Supposedly they had a few pounds, I think, on it been sang. So as you can see from the performance of it, hey, it definitely wasn't pre-planned.
Yeah, it worked well. And listen, Michael, obviously you're in the midst of, you're playing and captain and all that there, and there's many more chapters to be written, and we'll leave that. I just, Michael, want to touch on your involvement in AET. As I said, glad already you're showing that you want to coach and manage, which, you know, it's going to have a huge effect on our young players coming up. And the thought process behind AET, Michael, because I was just thinking the way we had county players involved this year in your Sigerson team, you and your dad were there, and the ability for us to keep players here and make IT Letterkenny a force that can play in the Sigerson, and so we cut out maybe travel for people and create, you know, some sort of a training setup then that suits our players better, because there's such a draw on people coming from Galway or Dublin or Belfast or whatever. It's putting such an effect, as you know, because training's going to open up. Recovery time is a massive side of it that people don't talk about. And if we could create a hub here, you know, in IT Letterkenny with yourself as the forefront of it, it could be massive for Donegal football.
Yeah, without a doubt. you know, first and foremost, people go to college, they go to get an education, like, they go to get a course, they go have their interest in a course, and that's the one thing I'll always have said from day one with any of the lads that want to go there, what courses do you want to do, what's your interest? If the course is there, by all means, we encourage and I suppose structure as much as we can around to support that. And I soon realised from being out there and having a little bit of a nose around at the courses and everything that is available, there's a lot of courses that are available there that are, you know, on par with anything else that's available around the country. There's some courses maybe that aren't there, and boys go away and do that, and good luck to them, and well and good, and by all means go get the education. But the big one and the driving force for me was to suppose to make people and make the students aware of what is available out there in terms of courses and how good they are, and then also to, you know, to expose them to training and try and get the players of Donegal and to go back to the situation I felt when I first went into St. Junan's College, is I wanted to expose as many of the players as possible and get the opportunity to hopefully expose as many of them as possible to the highest level of football available, you know. And probably the lads that played county were getting that, but the teams that I've had in the LYT so far, a lot of them were club players and good young club players who played for their clubs and played, you know, senior league for their clubs here. But I says, geez, what an added benefit it would be to these players and their development to expose them to a style of football from Jordanstown, or expose them for a style of football from Cork IT or from DCU or from Carlow or wherever, and to see them flourish in that regard, you know. And that there to me has been the biggest part of the journey for them, to see those players who maybe haven't just reached county football yet, but to help them on their journey and their development by exposing them to that nature, the same way I got exposure at a secondary school level. And that has been brilliant. You know, the IT out there at the moment, really forward thinking, everything's very positive. They try to help, and everything that we do, we're positive, and we train them once a week, maybe twice a week max. But I know the pressures and everything that are on young lads, you know, between their studies, their part-time work, their pull and dragging of between teams. I've been there, I've done that. And, you know, all we require is that 1 hour training where we do it to the max of our ability. We plan it out the best way we can. And I just want them to enjoy that 1 hour, enjoy that journey, and try and just learn one thing from it that they can bring to their clubs or bring to anywhere. And just try and support them through their years of college to try and get a degree at the end of it, you know.
Brilliant, Michael. It's fantastic to hear you're involved there. Michael, just a quick one before you go. I know if you had it over a few years earlier to Claremont and that rugby show you did, they might have wanted to pull you in. I can see you now bursting up the pitch in a rugby game. You obviously flirted a wee bit with the soccer. Your dad kept you away from that. The Aussie rules, the time obviously you played for Ireland, there was a contract on offer there. Was there ever a thought to take it on board, or were you like, listen, I'm GA and that's it?
It was. I remember them coming. They came to the back door of the house at the time, like, and it was probably like any young fella at that age, 16, 17, it was just so exciting. You know, you heard this professional team coming, you know, potentially wanting to offer you a contract to go to the team and to go to the Brisbane at the time. And met them a couple of times, and, you know, the offer, whatever, was there. But, you know, it was brilliant at the time. I was really excited. I think I was more excited about just having been afforded the actual offer more so than... But then when I suppose the real hard question came, and I sat down with my dad, and like the question came, well, are you ready then? Are you going? And like then that was all of a sudden, it was like, right, you shut me down to this, like, and that just was just a complete no, like, you know. It was a no one so far as just not a hope. Like at that stage, you know, as I say, I was beginning to come on to the senior team between minors, 21s, and just, you know, I was getting into that Glen Swilhey senior team. I was getting to live out a dream there with all the lads. I was beginning to train there, and I was beginning to live out a dream and get to play with Donegal and the seniors. And the support, as I say, that I got from the players and management within them teams was just brilliant on my transition into that. And I just wasn't willing to uptake that and to want to do it. The challenge, you know, on hindsight, looking back, every now and then I would have loved to have given it a go, just to see if I could adapt more so from the challenge point of view. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
just to see if I could prove them wrong, because you would have went over as an Irish player and they would have said, you know, an Irish player taking up a new sport at that age, you're not going to be able to do it. And I would have been motivated by that to prove somebody wrong that I could do it. But what I've really enjoyed the journey And that's something I've alluded to a few times here. I don't know if I would have, well, I wouldn't have enjoyed it anywhere as much as I enjoyed them years of Donegal, you know.
Yeah. I think you definitely could have done a Ty Ganelli over there for sure, Michael. And we are glad you didn't, Ty. And Michael, listen, thanks so much for sharing some of your story today. There's a lot more story to come, and we hope you get back at it soon. And well, from a Eunice perspective, maybe not so much for you, Glenn. So we definitely going to go out. You get back winning and get back in the Super 8s, and we're going to take the next step soon. And Michael, listen, thanks so much for joining us on the DL Debate. I'll see you soon.
Good man, Ren. All right, thanks. Good man. Keep well. All right.
Right, folks, that's the brilliant Michael Murphy sharing his insights with us. Great to have him on the show. And up next from Ladies Football is the hotshot herself, Geraldine McGoughlin. After being joined by, for me, the greatest Donegal footballer of all time and the men's code, Michael Murphy, I'm now joined by the greatest ladies player for me, and I don't think you can argue against that, in all time, and that's Geraldine McLaughlin. Geraldine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brendan.
You're holed up. Where are you at the moment? You doing a bit of work from home?
Working from home, back in Termin, like, so. It's grand, not too bad.
Back in Termin, where it all began, and that's where you're at. Do you know, the funny story I just heard there, Harry McGlynn came knocking on Clonkilly Moor looking for a few players, and Breege, your mum said you'd do well to get a footballer in this house. That is some line after what came out of the house then, the likes of yourself and your sisters. Such a talented family. And Geraldine, is this something that was in your house growing up? Were you in the back garden playing against each other, or did it take off for you at school?
Really, our house is probably the easiest house because there's 8 girls, like, so when you're starting off a ladies team, it's probably the easiest house.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when Harry, like, came then, we used to always play at school and then down at the club, like, and then when we moved house then, we used to have, like, a back street, and then the Freys, Rush and Nevy and Anton used to be down, like, so we used to have big, massive competitive games out the back, and no joke, like, there was rough as game to ever play, like there's enough broken arms and broken legs, like, so I think they're always competitive, so I think it started literally from the backyard, like.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I used to love reading comic books where the Rovers, and I've said this many a times, I look at your scoring rate and I've never seen anything like it. It is like a comic book, you know, and the stuff that you've won underage, it seems like you need a special room in the house for all your medals and accolades, because you've won multiple awards, you know, underage, club and county. I mean, it's just been phenomenal what you've done, how you've been able to pack it all in. But you've basically bought in from under 14s. You started winning Ulster, 16s, minors, and right up into senior then.
Yeah, like, I think we were lucky enough. Like, when we had an underage team, like, we started playing under 14s. Like, and ladies, you probably started quicker. Like, we were 11, like. So we were very young, like, and we had always a very good team, like, so we'd always, I don't think I've went through underage without winning Ulster every year, and I think that brought through then to senior level, like, so we knew no difference from not winning, like, from under 14s, like, we used to be in a Ulster final for both under 14s, and if you played 16s with both, but then, like, we had a team underage that we got to All-Ireland final and on 14s and lost the All-Ireland final. And then same team then under 16s got to All-Ireland final and lost again. And then finally, then when we were all minors, we won it, like. So yeah. It just shows the talent of players right through, like. And then the year we won the minors, we got to All-Ireland final under 16s as well. And that was played 6 days after the minor final, like. So we knew no difference. Like, we'd never had a year that we weren't winning, weren't competitive, like. So I think that was the strangest thing coming from minors, like, underage to senior, because even our first year senior, like, we won the All-Ireland Intermediate, and then I think it was only a couple of years after, and you're actually, hits you, like, this actually doesn't happen every year. Even though,
yeah,
when we were, like, started from when I was 11 playing county, we won Ulster All-Ireland every year, right up for 12, 13 years.
Phenomenal stuff, dude. And just in that final, you scored 3-5. And, Jen, I have to say, you know, looking around scores and that, and all forwards love scoring goals. It's the big thing, but it's very much on the smaller side of the scale. But with you, you're almost up on a par nearly. I mean, there was one season there you had 22 goals and 27 points. I mean, it just seems crazy. And goals kill teams. So I can just imagine the opposition. You're getting the ball the amount of times you bury it in the net and how that knocks back the opposition and propels your team. It's the thing about the goals, Julian, is it something that you just work with that you're in that position, or do you just think, always, if I can just beat this next person, there's a goal on here, I'm not going to take the handy point. You know, you're like a goal machine.
I don't really know, like, because even when we're underage, like, it was always very competitive. Like, in every team I played with, like, you never got a handy, like, even at training. If we were playing under eights, like, and you're still playing with good standard players, like, the whole way through. I don't know, like, it's just practicing, like, just from when we started, like, in every game you want to do better and better and better. Like, and never really, it's, like, good enough and you want to do better than next day. I think probably my parents have a lot to do with it. Like, it wouldn't matter if I scored 3-8 in a game. Like, it wouldn't really matter. And I come home and I might have missed one score the whole game. Like, and they would be like, what happened? That miss? Why did you miss that? How did you miss that? It was an easy one. And it was always, like, Leo always brought you back, like, and you're like, geez, I did miss that one. How can I not miss it the next time, like?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's amazing to hear, Jolene. See, from a tournament perspective, there was a Gaeltacht who's won the way back, and then there was a wave of players come through, the likes of yourselves and five or six others, to start to make this unbelievable tournament team that would start to go on. Obviously, Francie and Trevor and Paul came in, maybe put a bit of tactics in place. You just played a wee bit like, say, McGuinness has done a goal. You just played that kind of system where you were back defending in numbers, and that kind of propelled you and then to being a very hard to beat team.
Yeah, like we laughed because Francie would always say we had 14 dogs and there was me, like. You always said it, like, but no, I think 2009 we got to county final, we got absolutely hammered, and then 2010 then, like, we won Ulster, like, that's how, shows how high a standard Donegal was, like, and then right through, like, but I think from Francie and Trevor and Paul knew, like, we had the team there, it was just a matter of bringing everyone together, like our first year we won Ulster, like, we got to Ulster and semi, only lost by 2 points. And I think if we believed that we actually could have won that game, we probably would have, like. But they, like, our trainings used to be literally worse than any game you've played. Like you can just imagine yourself, like, Francie had us, it was poor intense, and there was no not giving 100%, like, so majority of our games were easier than the trainings, like, so I think it was just brought from the training grounds to every game, like.
And listen, that was the dream, and I was saying to Michael too, but you've been so busy during your college in Sligo, and, you know, working part time, and Terman were obviously on these runs, Donegal was on these runs. Was there ever a time that was too much? I know you're, listen, again, like, more Michael, you're a brilliant soccer player as well. You were, like, international underage. I didn't even know that a lot of people would know that. You could be very easy playing for Ireland now. You could be over by Tyler Toland, I think, as easy as you. Thankfully, you stayed with Donegal. But you were getting a lot of interest from a lot of people. Was there ever a time you were like, God, there's too much going on here? Or, you know,
yeah,
maybe probably, be burning out a small bit?
Yeah, probably, like, same as every underage girl or boy, like, they're dragged to soccer and dragged to Gaelic, like, and I played both right up to, I went to Russia with the Ireland ladies team, like, and the schools, colleges, like, and we came back, like, and you're dragged from, like, you had days you had to pick either soccer and Gaelic, and I always told my soccer coaches that I'm 100% Gaelic, like, I always played soccer for the crack and on, like, and then when we went up to play Ireland, they were like, no, like, it's all soccer, you can't be playing Gaelic. And right. I think after that, like, I don't think when you want to play two high standard games, it's not physically possible. Like, so it was just always Gaelic for me. Like, I think being so successful in Gaelic, like, and it's hard to do that in soccer when, like, Gaelic's a right good community, like, and it's good community spirit. And, like, you go out and play with literally your best friends every day, isn't it? Soccer's a thing that you could be playing one team this year and you could transfer the water to another team next year, like, and that happened regularly, and that's their sport, like. But I like the fact of, like, the girls you play with, it's girls you can play for 4 years, like, and probably more enjoyable, and probably what I done since I was a child, like, is play Gaelic.
Brilliant. Jerry, only you could say you played soccer for the crack and you ended up in an international team. That's brilliant, that's brilliant. That just shows you how down there you are. And at the minute then, keeping motivated and fit, Geraldine, is it a matter of there could be obviously looking like maybe we could get some club at best, not county. Is there a programme there that you're following, or is it just stuff that's in between the county and the club, you're just trying to keep yourself in reasonable shape?
No, like we do have a sort of programme, like, but I can't go running, like you have to do what you enjoy, like you can't go out and make yourself do a 10K, like, and or go out and like it's just a matter of trying to find a balance. Like I do like a longer run one day and sprints, like I do sprints all day before I do a longer run any day, like, so
yeah,
just a matter of getting the balance, because you know yourself, like you have to do it some days, like, but anything I do, like I go out and do the stuff I enjoy but also do what I need to do also, like, but it's hard to be motivated, but as I say, like if you enjoy the run, it makes it far easier.
Yes, Geraldine, just after the brilliance of particularly the intermediate All-Ireland one and then the All-Star final ones, the big tilt at the likes of the Dubs and Cork, the best teams in Ireland, is that All-Ireland title within your grasp? Do you feel you have the squad there in place to do it in the next few years?
Yeah, I 100% do think so. Like, we have the players there, like, and it's just a matter of keeping everyone together, getting training together, because we have a serious team there, and if we train and we play the way we can play, we can beat absolutely anyone, like we can beat them in any day, like, I think it's just a matter of getting everyone together, like it's probably the hardest in Donegal because we're so far away, like when the girls have to go Dublin or Galway to go college or work, like, and we're probably at a wee bit of a disadvantage because we only get the weekends with them, and but because we got to All-Ireland semi 2 years ago and we were probably unlucky, like, but no, we definitely can. That probably will be our next aim to get that, like.
Yeah, and I think just talking to Michael previous, the way you got involved in the Sigerson and the IT there, you know, I'm sure there's something there that I wonder if the same formula could be followed by the ladies as well, and make sure our better players are here and looked after, because, as I say, growing up in my house and with Maria, playing with Donegal and of course won in All-Ireland, which she often gives me a needle about, she lets me know about that. So going to ladies games and that, like, I particularly when the men's game got very tactical, ladies stuff was like a breath of fresh air because you played it more honest to me. But of course tactics is coming deeper and deeper in, but while they are, Geraldine, and we have you in our team and you're still young, you're just in your prime, I think we've got to make the most of that. So listen, thanks so much, Erin, for joining us and for
no
sharing
way.
A bit of story with us. Really appreciate that. And I'm going to wish you all the best. And I'd say, whatever happens at the end of this season, Termin or Donegal, good luck to whoever has to pick you up.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you.
Take care. See you soon. Check this. Right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening in. It's been fantastic to have two sporting stars of the calibre of Michael Murphy and Geraldine McLaughlin on the show. Thanks so much to the two of them for joining us. Remember, you can catch all shows on playback on highlandradio.com. The show is also up on iTunes and Spotify. We'll catch up again next week.
The Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.